Okay, so I just wanted, out of curiosity, to see how many of you had her for a HomeSat teacher. How many? Okay, my daughter Lydia. Anybody else? Okay, very good. And she taught science and history? Yes. And we had our HomeSat set up in our family room kitchen area. So my husband's office is at home, and so he's coming into the kitchen to get a drink of water, another cup of coffee or something, and going back to his office. And he would come through the room, and she'd be teaching something. He would just stop and just listen. She was so interesting. He learned so much science. We really enjoyed her in our house. We feel like we know her. Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to really give her liberty of spirit to speak with us and encourage us. Our Father, we're so thankful for this gift that you have given us today to gather together and to hear from a sister in Christ who has devoted herself to rear her family, to love you and know you. And so we pray that you would just enable her to express the things that you have taught her that are on her heart. And give us understanding, Lord, that we might be able to take these things and implement them. I pray, Lord, for all these young mothers who are represented here today. Lord, you know their hearts, how desirous they are. And so we pray for your Holy Spirit to cause these things to help us, to help these young women. And we want to do this for your glory, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have to say, I wish my children thought that science was as enamoring as I do. But thank you for taking time on a Saturday to come. And I think it's wonderful that the church provides childcare so you're not having to scramble, because probably anyone you would want to help watch would be here as well. So I understand, though, the time that it takes. And our prayer has been that we will not be time wasters for you. So when my husband, we eat breakfast every morning, I fix him breakfast. And so that's our quiet time now that the children are older. It used to be 7 o'clock when they would go to bed, but now we have to do it at breakfast because the kids are up about as long as I am. But we were eating breakfast, and he goes, "I got a call from Pastor Minnick yesterday." And I'm like, "Oh no, what did those two kids do? That would be so bad that Pastor Minnick would have to call." I mean, I can see maybe Pastor Rush or Mr. Wigington or Pastor Vincent, but Pastor Minnick, they must have done something terrible. And then he said, "No, he wants us to come speak for the parenting conference." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "I know, I told him we probably aren't the ones for him." I said, "Well, does he know we still have children at home?" He's like, "He's aware of that." So we went through the whole Moses thing with we are not worthy and so forth. But we actually are very excited to be here and just share with you. So pretend that we are just out at, well, up here up in New England would be Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know where it would be here. And we're just sitting at the table drinking coffee and just sharing with one another things that the Lord has taught us through the years, things that maybe we wish we would have known, or maybe things that we were told and in our immaturity did not realize the importance of. We are very imperfect parents and have very imperfect children. But if I could just share some of the mistakes or some of the things that did work for us that you might be able to take just a little bit of it, then we would be grateful for that. And our prayer is that the Lord would be glorified in anything that is said, and that he would just give discernment. So if you would just pray with me real quick that the Lord would help me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time, and we thank you that we do have your word. And we do pray that you would help us as we have many things pulling at us and responsibilities. And I ask that you would help these ladies to be able to just clear their mind right now of all of those things and that we would all just be able to think through truths that you have given to us and how we can practically implement them, and that you would just give me discernment in my speech and in my mind, and that you would guard my tongue from saying anything that would detract from your glory and that would detract from being a help to these ladies. And we would be grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my husband started out with telling you the big picture. And I don't know if you have the same problem as I do, but I am very focused on the trees, so to speak, and sometimes I miss the forest. And every year, my birthday is in December, and every year my husband takes me out for dinner for my birthday, and it is okay. It is not a sin to leave your children at home and have your children and have your husband and you just have a dinner. That's something that's very important that we did, and we would get a babysitter, usually my sister, and we would go out to dinner. And because it's the end of the year, it was the perfect time for us to go through the year prior and say, okay, here is what we feel like we did wrong. Here's what we feel like we did right. Here's what we feel like we should change. And specifically geared towards the children, we would say, okay, this is how we think Josiah, this is a weakness of his, and this is something that we really need to work on with him, or Catherine or Caleb, and here's how we want to implement that. And I was always just ready to dive right in. All right, here's Josiah's problem, and here's how I think I've done it wrong, and here's what we need to fix, and Catherine, she's where it needs to work on this, and Caleb, and so forth. And he'd be like, all right, let's back up, and let's look at the big picture. And sometimes we're so focused on the trees, and we're so focused on the limbs, and we're so focused on the leaves that we miss the big picture. And so we try to just adopt Deuteronomy 6 and Matthew 22. And I believe I have that written out in your notes, but if not, let me double check. Yes, okay, we'll read it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And that is what we wanted for our children and for our family. And then Matthew 22 says again, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we have tried to put everything under these two goals, so that our children would love God and that they would love others. And he introduced that in the early session, but which is good for me because now that he explained the scripture part and all of that, I can get to the nitty-gritty on how that plays out. But with loving God, it starts with us as moms. And we cannot expect our children to love God if we do not love God. And it is so vital as moms that we take our time with God. And I am an advocate of doing it in the morning and giving God our first fruits. Now, I know some people like to do it in the evening after everything is done, but I am a morning person, and I didn't always used to be, but I have developed just a love for mornings and a love for starting my day off in God's word and on my knees before him in prayer, and that just sets the whole tone for the day, and it helps me keep in focus what's important. But it is very important for us to spend time in our personal devotions, and you know, some of you have been up every 3 hours or every 4 hours at night, or you have sick children, or you have toddlers, and it's not going to look like it will maybe that I'm able to do now, where I can have my commentaries out, and that's the way I like to. I'm a studier. I love to read, and I love to study, and I really struggled when my kids were toddlers with being able to do that. And my husband he said to me, you know, this may not be the season for you to have all of your commentary spread out, but it is just important that you are reading God's word and not just opening it up and pointing, but just a systematic study. And he encouraged me to just even go through a book And every morning, just read through a chapter or like, let's say Philippians. I would read through Philippians, and then I would focus on chapter 1. Then I would read through Philippians, and I would focus on chapter 2. And some of the books, Psalms, you cannot do that. But my point is, try to not give yourself overwhelming goals. The goal is to really just see what God says about himself in his word, but be systematic and be consistent about it and intentional about it. But don't guilt yourself into having to get everything, to have your hymnal out because you need to read your, or you need to read through the song and then your devotional to prepare your heart. And then there might be days where you are not able to go through that whole routine. But do make it intentional and consistent, and look to see what God is teaching you about himself. That's what's important. We read our Bible, and we do our devotions to teach us what God is teaching about himself. Also, memorize scripture. And I'm going to recommend, I'm so thankful we have everybody tomorrow, even though it's overwhelming, that the different stages of parenting, there's so many different things that you need. But memorize scripture. And memorize scripture that's going to help you in your relationship with the Lord, but also use this time to memorize scripture that's going to help you recall scripture to your children. And then I also try to just, I love to read, so it was a struggle for me to not put down a book or to waste my time reading when I really needed to do other things. But I wanted to make sure when I read that I read things that were going to be enriching spiritually to me and not froth. So read missionary biographies for your pleasure reading. Read books that are going to help you with parenting or with strengthening your walk with the Lord. I think we waste a lot of time on what I call froth, and they're not sinful, but they're not necessarily, in this time of life when we don't have extra time, don't fritter it away on froth. Get to the heart of what you need. I think in the past it would be maybe Christian romance novels, but I think now maybe that has changed to Pinterest, Facebook. Make sure we're not wasting our time that we could. And we might say, I don't have time to read biographies, but clock how much time you're on Facebook or Pinterest, or I'm not sure what else would be around, Instagram. But just time that and see how much time you really do have that you could get a chapter of Evidence Not Seen In or some of the other books that actually, I have to show you this. In 2002... we were missionaries sent out, or Mount Calvary supported us. And as a result, we would get your MP3s and parenting conference booklets and so forth. And 2002 was a homemakers conference. And in the back of the book was a list of books that were suggested reading. And I photocopied it, and it was well used. And then I had a list of books that Pastor Minnick, when he had done a reading sermon back when I was a student. And these papers have been recopied and written on and torn, and they are well used. And my mother actually got into the habit of buying us some of the books off the list. And she would give us those for Christmas or for birthday. So if you have anyone who asks you, what do you want for Christmas? Use the books, the list that you are given as resources. They are very good resources, and they are not going to be time wasters. Also, it is important for us to teach our children to love God. And my husband talked about that earlier, but let me give you some specifics. What Do You Know About My God by Marty Collier is a great book. And I know that when the children are young, that it's not easy to go through them, and you're not going to go through them and have this notebook and, you know, for a five-year-old. But you can do that, and then you can use those as you're speaking to them through the day, or choose one of those for your morning time with your children, and use God is good. God is always good. And go through the scripture. And as they get older, you can have them turn in the scripture. When they're younger, it's just going to be you teaching that to them. But if you have it, then you can give it to your children. But your children aren't going to have it unless you have it first. Another one is leading little ones to Christ. We wanted to teach them what God wants for them. And it's very important for our children who come into this world thinking that they are king of the world and that the world is centered on them, to realize their place. And one lady, godly mentor, she had a workshop that said, welcome to our family. We love you. Now let me show you how you fit in. And it's very important for us to show our children their place in this world and their place in our home. And that focus, that always brings them back to Christ. We need to show them the inner attitudes of their heart. We need to show them who we are as a person before God, and that we are fallen creatures in need of a Savior. And there are several resources for that. Psalm 86, 8 through 10 talks about, "For there's no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name." We teach our children that God loves them, and that is so important. But I think sometimes we fail to teach them that God loves them because it pleases him to do so. And we need to always bring it back to God, pleasing and glorifying him. Revelation 4:11, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." And that's something we would bring back to them when we would go on those bike rides and when we would watch the birds at our dinner table. when we would be sitting at our dinner table looking out the window, and it brought nonstop conversation. It was the best. And even now we have I love creation. But even now we have a bird feeder outside our kitchen window. And especially my middle son, we are constantly looking at the birds or looking it up or whatever, and not in a nerdy way. Like when he was like, people are going to think we're such nerds. But it really was, when you have children, they love looking at birds and they love looking at creation. And you don't have to make it a homeschool education event. It's just something that you're teaching them, that God loves them and that God is a wonderful creator. But in also doing that, we teach them God's word. And God's word says that we are to love others. And a verse that we committed, especially towards just recently, about 3 or 4 years ago, we taught it earlier on, but we were able to really go through it later, was Philippians 2:3-8. "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Always bring your children back to examples of God's word. We can give them all types of words of wisdom, and sometimes in our haste and in our humanity and our flesh, we will try to give them these words of wisdom, and we need to always direct them back to scripture. How can you argue with the fact that Jesus, who is God, humbled himself And it wasn't that he was just sharing blocks and didn't want to share blocks, but he shared them anyway. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of dying, death on the cross. Always bring your children back to Christ and his example. And we need to make sure we know our word in order to do that. And that's why it's vital that we are in God's word every single day. But we need to make sure we model loving others. And that starts with our husbands. It is hard for us when we have young children. How many of you have children under five? Oh, okay. Wow. All right. So you are in the trenches, right? And it can be wearying. I had one gentleman tell me the days are long, but the years are short. And that is so, so true. And they can be long days. And sometimes it is easy because our children are needy and they cannot fend for themselves when they're little, that we are constantly looking out for them. And this tall husband of ours who also has needs gets overlooked because he is capable of getting his own breakfast or he is capable of getting his own tea. And I'm not saying if you don't give your husband breakfast, you're wrong. First, it looks differently. That's just the way I can serve my husband. I am a morning person. I am up at 4:30 in the morning usually, and then I'm ready for a nap by 2, though. Not that I get one, but so I am a morning person, and making him breakfast and getting him off on his day is something where I can serve him. It may not be where you can serve your husband, and I'm not saying you're bad, bad, bad for not doing that, but you need to see what your husband needs, what he prefers. I do not mind books stacked on my table or on a corner as long as the floor underneath them is clean. I like things clean. He likes things neat. He does not like clutter. And that is something where when the children were little, we would make a tent in their bedroom. On rainy days, I had two boys. We had to do something that was creative. And we would make tents in their bedrooms, and then we would just have a ball. It was so much fun, and we would make different rooms, and it was just, you just take blankets, and you put them on dressers, and you hang them to their bunk beds, and it was a lot of fun. And I could leave that up for 3 days, because I knew why it was up, and they were having fun with it, and it kept them busy as well. After about the second day, though, a lot goes in that tent. Pretty much their whole room moves into that tent. And you know how sometimes you have these things that, like Thomas the train would go all over our living room, but then Thomas needed a friend, so something else came in, and then your whole living room blows up by the end. And I could tolerate that for probably 3 days longer than my husband. And he was very kind and very gracious, but I could tell it would chafe if it was just clutter everywhere in their bedroom. And so I would do my best to try to make sure before he came home that I would just go through the house really quick and make sure it wasn't like a bomb. Now, there were some days, especially when our children were a little old, like probably 3, 4, 5, where I spent many afternoons or mornings correcting, that it just happened, and I would shoot my husband a text. I'm so sorry, the house is a bomb, but I've been correcting for probably about the last 3 hours. And he was always very kind. But in my mind, I always wanted to have it calm and peaceful when he came in. That was my loving him. respect and submit to your husband. We were married 3 years before we had Josiah, and I can honestly say, I don't know, I know there probably was, I cannot remember any time where there was really any disagreement where I thought that we should do something and he didn't. Children somehow bring that into it, and as a mother, we are nurturers, and we want to make sure everything's safe and everything's okay for our children. And we had Josiah, who is a boy, and he was a boy. He was a boy. And And I would want to keep him safe from everything. And I'm not talking obedience things. I'm just talking about being a boy. And my husband would say, like, one time I looked out our window, and we had a little retaining wall, and a soccer goal, and he would jump over it. That was fine. Well, then he wanted to see how far he could jump over it. So he'd push it back, and he'd run and jump. And I was about ready to open the window and say, Josiah, you know. And my husband was like, he's got to be a boy, and let him do it. He's probably going to break a leg, and that's okay. And I was like, what? You know, it wasn't an obedience thing. It was just a matter of, okay, my husband knew boys better than I did. And I wanted to put him in this little bubble, and I wanted to wrap him up and keep him safe. But that would have been very irritating to his spirit. And your husband is going to have insight on that, especially with the boys. With babies, sometimes we mothers think we know more than our husbands do. And there might be times where we are given a nurturing spirit. And we are probably going to maybe have an instinct that God has given us. But don't lord that over your husband. And if he says, all right, we need to let them cry a little bit, do not, sure, talk to him and say, you know, I know I agree with you, but he's had a fever or whatever. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm not saying don't discuss things with your husband, but it will be better for your family to have made the wrong decision, but you have submitted to your husband and have respected his authority, especially after the children get older. But you don't start that at 8. You start that back when they're babies. And I will never forget the first time he felt like it was good for Josiah. I always use Josiah because he was the first. By the time the others came along, it was like survival, right? But with Josiah, he felt like he needed to go to sleep on his own and not be rocked or so forth. We both did. And in my mind, I thought I knew that was right. But the actual doing it was what was hard. So he was a dorm soup, and he canceled all the meetings until, like, he knew Josiah would be asleep. And he sat on the couch with me and let me cry while Josiah was crying. And that was not easy. But I knew that it was more important for me to submit to my husband. And we did not let him cry till I feel like I need to do a disclaimer. He did not, we did not abuse him. he would check, Matt would check on him, make sure he had his pacifier and so forth. But my point is, it was important for me to submit to him. And I can say in all these years that I'm not saying we always made the right decision, but it was always the right decision for me to submit to him and to his authority and to his guiding and not buck that. And that's important even when your children are older and they're teenagers, and you might not agree with something that he decides for them, and it is never good to do that, to let him know that in front of them. Your children will respect his authority and your authority more if they know that you have a united front. Nothing will, it will disintegrate your authority if you buck him in front of your children. Let your children know you respect him. When we had a youth pastor over, he was an intern, and he was eating at our dinner table, and the children had just, we had been on a bike ride, and we had witnessed a man yelling at his wife, and she was yelling back, and it was really the first time that my children knew that the couples did that. And this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and they're 18, 17, and 14. So they were talking about the dinner table. And one of the boys were like, yeah, Mom and Dad, they never fight. And Andrew, our intern, was there. And Catherine, she was probably 7. She's like, Mom and Dad fight all the time. And our whole table got quiet. We were like, just, it was like you could have dropped a pin and everyone would have heard it. And we were like, Catherine, what are you talking about? She's like, you guys are always saying, well, you take this seat. And dad will say, no, you take this seat. Or Catherine said, dad will say, here, you take this piece of pie. And mom will say, no, you can have it. And she's like, they're always doing that. And we're like, all right, that is not fighting. That is not arguing. So make sure that you provide a united front. Love your children. Now, that is not hard. We love our children. We would die for our children, but like your children as well. And enjoy your children. Read to them. Every night before they would go to bed, we would do our family devotions, and then we would put them to bed. And as they were laying in bed, we would read to them. And it started out with Christopher Church Mouse. It started out with DuckTales. We would always do a missionary biography. And then we would do something that was not a missionary biography, but that, so we would rotate that. And that was just a special, special time. And they would always try to get us to do one more chapter. And I was always a sucker for that one. I would be down, and Matt would come down and be like, it's probably time for them to go to bed. Because they're like, one more chapter. Like, okay, we'll do one more chapter. play with them. And spend time with them. Disciple them. Talk to them. Listen to them. A pastor's wife, when Josiah was young and Caleb was born, she said to me, if you don't listen to your children now, they will not talk to you when they are older. And I can't tell you how much fun it is now to sit in the living room and just talk and drink coffee and chat and laugh or just discuss things. But that will not happen if you don't listen to them when they're young. And I'm not talking while you're chopping carrots. Uh-huh, yeah, right, you know. Give them your focus. Now, I say that, but make sure that you're not doing that to such an extent that you are not loving others. So, for instance, when you're on the phone talking to someone and you have chosen that this is an okay time for you to be talking to someone on the phone, that's who you're talking to. Don't then talk, oh, you want a drink, to your child. That is not helping them love others. So do talk to your children. Do spend time with them. But don't love them enough to show them loving others means their place in your home. And that might mean waiting for you to answer them if you're on the phone, rather than interrupting your conversation with the person on the phone. Love them by making them do even what they don't like. Sometimes we feel like loving them is not forcing them to do things that they don't want to do, and that is not love. That we don't see that in Scripture. So loving them is teaching them the big picture of fitting in. Don't idolize them. Sometimes you see parents who love their children so much that they misconstrue it, and they basically flaunt their children, or they get their own identity through well-behaved children, or through talented children, or through educated children, and that's not loving your child. That is setting them up for failure when they get out to the big world, and not everybody loves them that way. But show them their place in this family and in the world. Don't embarrass your children. That was one thing we tried very hard not to do. And our church family is our family. We live far away from home, from both of our families. We're very close to both sets of our parents. And then we have another family in New Hampshire. And it is our kids have grown up from the nursery with them. They know our church family knows our children's weaknesses. And they know their strengths, and that not much is hidden. And it is easy sometimes to, because you're just like family, to talk about your children to each other. And I'm not saying that that's always a bad thing. It can be a good teaching thing to a young mom if you're trying to share something. But don't embarrass your children that way. Don't discipline them in front of others. That can be an embarrassment. Save the disciplining. We always tried to save it till we got home. I could tell you there were sometimes every Sunday after church we would spend correcting, and just because we would have to say to them, you know, when we get home, you're going to be corrected. And so it was like, you know, now some of them would laugh because they would try to be really good right beforehand, and then they would think that by the time we talked to everybody and left, we'd forget. So make sure if you do say that you're going to do that, be consistent. But don't discipline in front of others. Save that time to teach your child and to disciple them. And it takes time, and it's not just a word here and there of anger or of just quick talking. Make sure that you love all of your and like all of your children differently. And each one of your children are going to be different. And you're going to identify with some of them, maybe easier than the others. Take that opportunity and effort to understand the ones that are maybe not like you in thinking. I was teaching math to one of my children, and I was teaching it one way, and they came up with the same answer, and they just, their mindset was just totally different, and that just really helped me realize our children are not always wrong just because they think differently from us. Now, often that is the case when they're young because they see things in their self-absorbed world. But our children are created differently. We are all created differently, and embrace that difference. Don't let that frustrate you. show affection to your husband and your children, and don't let them feel like they are an intrusion to your agenda. And that is so important that our children realize that. And then we need to love others. And I need to hurry through here, but our children need to see us loving others, and then they will see that example, and it will be easier for them to do so. In your stage right now, it's going to be it's going to look differently than it does for me. I might be able to go do some hospital visits, and I might be able to go sit with someone and encourage them. And the last thing they want to see are a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds running around. So that might not be how you minister to them. So when you're ministering to people and loving others, think of how it would help them, how they would be loved, not how you want to do it or what's going to make you look good. When I was in your stage, I was home. And I was also very busy in the ministry as a church planner. We were, that required much of me. But a lot of my time was at home, and I found that the best way I could minister to people was to make them meals. Now, at that time, I was not necessarily a great cook, and it wasn't like I loved it. I enjoy it now, but it was something where I could minister to someone if I felt like they were down, or write notes. I wrote a lot of notes. And in fact, the other day someone told me that they missed my notes, and I felt bad that now that I'm able to physically go, sometimes I'm less of a note writer. But make sure you do that. Don't criticize other people in front of your children. That is such a key thing, and that is something that my husband had to really disciple me in this way, because isn't that something we ladies find very easy to do? Men just seem to be able to just brush things off quicker. We kind of harbor things, and we can kind of tend to be a little bit more critical. And I'm not saying don't be discerning. We are recalled to be discerning, but we do not need, if we cannot go to that person and talk to them and tell them that something that we feel like they are doing an error in love and humbly, then we should not be just talking about it in our home. And don't criticize your children's teachers or your pastor or their authority. That is not going to help them love others or be respectful of authority. Teach principles, but don't destroy people. So it's okay for you to teach the principles to your children without cutting down the person while you're at it. They will learn more by your example of a critical spirit than the issue that you are trying to point out to them. And then teach your children to love others. One verse that we claimed quite a bit was James 1, 19 and 20. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Teach your children to be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32, I think I quoted every day, several times a day when they were young. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. And we would say, are you being a peacemaker? Are you being kind? The Bible doesn't say be ye kind except if you missed a nap, right? We do need to understand our children, but we need to teach them that the Bible doesn't say be kind except. And that goes even for us as moms. Be ye kind even if your child has been up all night long. One thing that we felt like helped our children love others in our home was teaching them to play on their own. Our children, when they're born, they require much attention, but I think sometimes we as moms can foster that to an extent where it hurts them and they don't know how to self-play and they don't know how to entertain themselves. It is okay for your baby to not be carried around all the time with you, but to be able to sit in the swing or the bouncy seat and or underneath the jungle gym and batting the toy without you having to be there all the time. It's okay for a two-year-old to have to play in their room for a few minutes. And if you feel like you haven't done that and you need to do that, start slowly, 5 minutes, and then add a minute a week. Don't start out 20 minutes and say, you need to be in there, because they don't know that. That is something that you have to teach them. Teach your children to love adults. My husband talked about that, by showing respect. And get your children involved in helping others. When we cleaned the church, our church family signs up, and each week a different family cleans the church. And it's still small. We're actually in the building process of a new building. But I remember when Catherine was just an infant, we would bring a bouncy seat, and I would do the bathrooms, and Matt would take the boys, and they would put the pins in the little pockets and straighten the hymnals, and they would fold up the Sunday school chairs, and Matt would vacuum, and then they'd put it down. And Catherine would sit in the bouncy seat, and I would clean. I'd be like, hi, you know, just making sure she, and then I'd go to the next bathroom, and then I'd come back out, and, you know. And we did it as a family, and still to this day, we do it as a family. Now, for work days, it was loving others better for me when they were younger to keep them home because they weren't helpful. And sometimes we get in this idea that, all right, we need to come bring our families, and we're going to do a church work day, and it's more the idea than really looking at, is it truly helpful? And it was not helpful to my husband to have my boys out there when they were having the bobcat or the trimmers, and when they were three or four. They weren't really accomplishing anything. So it was loving others for me to stay home with them. So make sure we are thoughtful, and an idea doesn't just, we don't do it for the idea, but really practically have our children do stuff because it really truly is helpful. And another thing we did was we had them serve in the home for free. My husband said he does not support the welfare system in the home. Now, I'm not saying the welfare system necessarily is bad if you paid into it, and I'm not on that issue, but he would joke with them that we don't just hand out money for just to hand out money for them for an allowance. And we worked as a team at home because it helped the family, because we love one another to do so. Now, I would give, and Matt would give them extra jobs if they wanted to make money. My daughter laughs now. She goes, do you know you gave me a nickel for dusting the floorboards? She's like, that's like child labor. But when they were young, I'd be like, if you would like to earn some money and you want to dust the heat, we have radiator heaters, then I will give you a nickel for every wall you do. And that was a way where we could help them work and earn money, but it wasn't something that was required in order for the family to work together. And they needed to do it sweetly, completely, and immediately. After dinner, we would all clear our plates and load the dishwasher. Now, some of you might cringe because, yes, crumbs get on the floor, right? And sometimes we're in such a hurry that it's easier for us to do it than to teach them to do it. That takes time, and it causes sometimes more of a mess than a really a help. But in the end, when they're my kids' age now, it is so good for them, and it's really helpful to you too now. When we have someone coming over, and Matt will text and say, there's a new couple, and I was wondering if we could have them over today after church. My kids, they're all in it. Like, we all will clean up the house really quick or do something. But that doesn't start in junior high. That starts back when they're 2 and 3, and it takes time, and it takes effort. I have 1 minute. So the practical daily helps. I wasn't sure if I would even get to this, but just really quickly, have a schedule. That is something that is easy for some of us and more difficult for others, right? Some of us are so schedule-oriented that we really need to pray about flexibility. That was not my problem. My problem, I'm more of a social person and I am structured and I am disciplined and organized now because God has taught me to be so. It has not come innate in me. My sister is a math major, and she is the most scheduled. She and my husband are the most scheduled people I know, and I'm so thankful that God put me as Matt's helpmeet, because he is just so scheduled. And he came home one day, and he was like, you know, I think we need to help you get on a schedule. I think if you go from 8 to 9, you do this, and from 9 to 10. And we really had to, I looked at him like, are you crazy? That is not, I cannot tell this child, all right, you go to the bathroom at 9:45. And then, so it was easy for him because he was in his office and he is very scheduled with his time of study. He studies Wednesday night at this time of the day, on this day, and so forth. So we had to work through, but he was right. A routine, a schedule is so important. Your children need to know what to expect. Otherwise, their life is a free-for-all, never knowing any direction or what to expect, and that is frustrating. So I'm not saying from 8 to 9 you're going to do this, but have a routine. Get up, brush your teeth, make your bed. Even when they're 2, they can pull up their comforter. Get out of your jammies and get into your day. We call it day clothes. So put your day clothes on. And then we would have breakfast and so forth. And that's going to change. That's going to change. It's going to change as you have different children, as you have more children, sick children. But if you have in your mind a schedule to try to stick by, that is great. But one thing is, don't be dictated by your schedule. You are in charge of your schedule. And I think sometimes some of us on the other side fall in error of that. And we really just need to pray that the Lord helps us know our heart and what our tendency is and where our weakness is, and ask for strength on how to shore that up. Don't let your schedule dictate loving others too and loving God. I nursed my children. And one example from that was when we had a church service, I tried to change their schedule so that I was not missing a church service. So on Sunday, I might have fed them a little earlier, or I just kind of waited till after the service. I'm not saying if you don't do that, that's wrong, but that was one thing that for me, we felt like was important, that I dictated to them or tried to change their schedule a little bit so that I could be in the hearing of God's word. I didn't, if feeding them fell right in the middle of a sermon, I didn't leave unless the nursery called me out that they needed to be fed. I waited till after, or I did it before. It's okay to change your schedule to love God and put him first, and to love others and to put them first. But make sure you don't do it so much that your children don't have a schedule, which is the error some of us can fall in. That would have been my personality. So you really just need to pray about what the Lord has for you, your schedule, and what your personality and your weakness and your strengths are, and make sure that they fit under God. I'm 3 minutes over, so let's go ahead and we'll close, and then we can have a break. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that even though life changes and our schedules change and we have different children and our hearts change and we grow, that we have the surety of the foundation and steadfast of your word. And we thank you that that is unchanging and that you are unchanging. And we thank you that you have given us principles and wisdom. And if we are walking in the Spirit, that you will guide us and help us to do so according to your word. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.